Hello, welcome back to Absolute Cuts. This is episode 7.
Is it?
I think.
Yes. I think it is, aye.
Yes.
Aye.
After last week's disaster of a film. We took a dip in our listening figures.
Because of the core?
I think it was because of the core.
Yeah, because some people are like, why the fuck would you ever cover this pile of shit? The amount of people I got messaged going like, oh, you either made me watch the film afterwards and then writing, fuck you.
Yeah. Truly awful, man. Really awful. So we gigged together for the first time for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, and it was funny because we were doing the Glee in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And it was me and Ryan and two guys, Raj Pajura and Kazim Jamal.
Yeah.
And the way they'd done it on the poster or on the social media stuff was they'd put Raj and Kazim on one side and then a split and then me and you. And so it looked like a fucking tag team match was going to be happening. It was like one of Vince McMahon's great ideas.
It did look like a clash. It was not a lineup, it was a clash. It was great. Good night too.
It was a good gig.
The especially the Saturday.
Yeah, they were Saturday good gigs because Saturday was your birthday as well.
Aye. I tried to go to Banksy, but I couldn't get in.
Was it just because it was sold out anyway?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
These were like extra tickets.
They said like, oh, they're doing like, we'll let you in until like 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. A certain amount of people, but like, and it was fine. I could have kind of done it, but I'd already had to get the train back, and they basically were like, you can get in at 11:30.
Yeah.
And it'll take you about an hour to get around it all. And I was like, ah, right, nah, fuck that.
Aye. Who do you reckon... Well, right, first of all, who do you reckon Banksy is?
The Stig.
The Stig.
There's levels to it. So, he takes off his thing.
So it's meta. who do you think... Because I think it would end up, because there was rumors it was someone from Massive Attack.
That's what I thought it was. I thought that was confirmed, by the way.
Aye, because they're both from Bristol.
Okay.
And
is that all it does?
Yeah, that's literally the only. I don't even know if the fucking guy from Massive Attack can paint.
Is he sitting there taking all kudos? And buyers, that would be a great one, because then that would make Banksy come out. If the guy from Massive Attack just came out and just started going, aye, it is me. I'd be all of us. I reckon Banksy would be like, are you fucking...
Who do you think it would be funny if it was?
Right. So I don't want to pick someone like... No, he's dead, for a start. I was about to say Dale Winton. I want somebody like Hollywood that you wouldn't think.
Right.
I'm going to go Tom Holland.
Tom Holland? There's no way it could be Tom Holland because Banksy's been... How old's Tom Holland?
He's
Tom
old. Holland's got he's old. Like
24 when or something like that.
Part, when did he start turning up?
About 15 years ago.
Oh, right.
So Tom there's no way a nine-year-old was doing Tom, social commentary.
Tom knew. He was flying. He was flying to different countries and doing social commentary. Tom Holland's Banksy.
Right.
Jimmy, who do you think? I feel like you've got one in the chamber.
I don't know who it might be. I think it would be funny if it was someone that was universally hated.
Oh.
And so, like, see if it was a Katie Hopkins. It would be really fucking funny.
What would you do?
What would society do? Just like, oh my God, Jesus.
Everything's been alive.
The people that have bought them, the value just diminishes immediately.
He's watching the painting shred, just petting a decapitated head.
See, when you said that someone from Hollywood, it reminded me, do you know what I always find? Have you ever watched that The Masked Singer thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have.
Yeah, and where they have to, so somebody comes out dressed as like bizarre fucking things as well, like a terrapin. Or like
a lot of ants.
Yeah, there's a lot of insects, yeah.
Why would you do insects?
Yeah, or a phone box or some shit. And then they sing, and then they go around the judges and they ask them who it is, because it was an American one, and it actually turned out to be big celebrities. But then...
I didn't know that.
People going... I've seen ones where folk are going, I reckon it's Barbara Streisand. And you're like, why the fuck? Why would Barbara Streisand be on Saturday night British television dressed as a fucking ashtray? Why would she? And then it turns out to be Sonia from EastEnders.
Do you know the English one? The English one when they had the dude from The Hangover as the judge.
Oh,
Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong. Yeah.
And there's parts where he's clearly been fed names.
Yeah.
Because they're like,
yes.
They're like, who do you think that is? He goes, I reckon that's Mandy Dingle. And I'm like, there's no way you know who Mandy Dingle is. There's like, you know, it's always Ken Jeong. Yeah.
I gigged with Ken Jeong.
What?
He did the Comedy Store in London years ago.
I feel like I have a memory of this, or maybe I
didn't know he was going to be. So there was like special guests. So sometimes this happens. Like there's some massive people, like Chappelle's done it, like Robin Williams has done it, and Seinfeld's turned up.
Yeah.
And then there was one night that he was on, and what he was doing was he was preparing for one of the Comedy Central roasts.
Okay.
So he was on that. And he was over, I can't remember, he was doing something. So he came on, and I'm not going to name the compere, but it was very funny because they introduced him, and they clearly had, it had clearly been in his mind where this was going to trip him up. And he introduced him as Kim Jeong. And he was like, Ken Jeong. And it was like, Kim Jeong. No, Ken Jeong. And I was like, fucking Jesus.
Oh, no. That guy, Ken Jeong, has set back Asians as much as the old Oppenheimer bomb there. Honest to God, you ever see him in any comedy film? He is like really racial stereotype.
Yeah, he is.
Even in like Pineapple Express and stuff. Yeah. Stuff like that. He just turns up and...
He died in his arse.
Well, I presume.
He was fine for the first 5 minutes. He came out and did like crowd work and stuff. And then he pulled out this pad of paper and was trying. But he was like roasting fucking Alex Rodriguez, the first batsman for the New York Yankees, and a London crowd is going, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, mister. What's his name in The Hangover?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, God, what's his name? Mr. Han? Something.
No.
Mr.
Mr. Hans. No, not the DJ from Linkin Park. I think he's the DJ in Linkin Park. DJ Han. I don't know.
He jumps out of the car.
God, I know.
Naked. And does the...
Chow.
Mr. Chow. So long, motherfucker.
Mr. Chow.
Yeah. He's a cool guy. He's a very nice guy.
I'd love to meet him.
He was sound.
Looked at you like, put it together.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine we got him just here doing the podcast. Three of us all like...
Remember that time you died in your arse at the Comedy Store?
We all talk
Remember
about it.
Remember the time you set Asian relations back? Have you seen either of the Oppenheimer Barbies?
No, I haven't. What order would you do in?
Well, I can only really, because I did want to see Barbie because I think it looks quite funny.
Yeah.
But my wife has already taken the kids. They went the opening day.
Okay.
And I can't be a 42-year-old man
alone
watching Bart, especially looking like, because I look like I'm cosplaying as fucking Ken. So I can't go with this hair. So it's like, and the hair's
like a lad. It would look like the worst.
I know.
Dare you to go in like a wee Hawaii shirt?
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
Topless there, shorts. Put your legs up on the thing.
This guy loves Barbie.
Big pink slushy. God, that'd be great.
It was fucking. Amy was telling me that she took the kids, and so they got a Barbie. It's like a metallic bucket. I'm going to use it at the Fringe.
Okay.
For a wee bucket thing at the end at Monkey Barrel. And it's a Barbie metallic bucket that the popcorn comes in. And then they get two cups as well. And you can cut 52 quid it costs. Like all in, tickets and the snacks, 52 quid for a 2-hour film.
That's, you know, I was kind of saying this. I was actually talking about this because I went to see, what the fuck did I see? Mission Impossible, right? And I was like, I've got the card, right? The fucking Cine World card or whatever. And it's 25% off the drinks. But it's still a night out because even if you're going yourself and you're going, oh, I'll get the popcorn and drinks, you're still watching. That still comes with the 25% off, like a tenner, right? Which is what it used to be. I know it's all expensive, but I know I was sitting there going like, God, the cinemas are half dead. And I'm like, it's because it's like fucking, if I was to walk up at Mission Impossible at Cineworld and thing, it was $16.60 straight in because it was the first thing. So that's before the drinks and the thing. And they're like a tenner. It'll be like 26 quid to watch Mission Impossible if I just wanted the standard media, like They're pricing everyone out of.
That's what pisses me off about when they're kind of, because they've got like this idea that Barbie and Oppenheimer are going to save cinema this summer because like Mission Impossible's kind of tanked a bit.
Is it?
Apparently it's still made more than any of the other films, but it's not as much as they thought it was.
Someone was telling me it was like, oh, it's actually got the highest reviews too.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
You didn't like it at all.
I was so disappointed. I was disappointed. Maybe I got it in the wrong, but I was like, that was nowhere near as good as Fallout.
Because the Fast and the Furious film didn't do well, mm-hmm. and the Indiana Jones film hasn't done well.
Oh,
good
fucking
and, obviously the Marvel films aren't doing as well. And you kind of go, I don't think it is the films. It's the fact that it's so fucking expensive.
yeah, probably. I mean, like, you know, I get the Marvel thing. They're redoing that. They have to redo the build-up again.
Eventually it'll get somewhere.
But, like, it is quite expensive. I mean, I was sitting there with that, again, with the full-on black card, and I was still going, this is still quite a cost.
Yeah.
I have to buy a pack of polos and sit there in the back. In the 2D screens, not the IMAX ones, because it's an extra four fucking quid every time, at least, you're going in.
Do you know, when I was at uni, no one I knew, but we were in the cinema once and someone ordered a pizza. Literally, like the fucking most baller move I've ever seen in my life. Like it's not like they ordered it to meet them outside. Like it was, what would have been better if the fucking pizza guy had come in to the actual auditorium and delivered it. But no, they went out. So we saw them fucking about on their phone, and then they left and went out, and obviously went out the front of the cinema. Got the pizza off the dude and brought it back in.
I fucking can't believe they even let him away with it.
It's insane.
I love it. Actually, yeah, I'm all for him now.
What are they going to do, though? Like,
aye. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's like I always get nervous about taking food in before.
I think it used to be way more. I remember years ago, like, fucking hide that.
Yeah.
If they catch you, as if you're going to get, like, lit up.
Yeah,
you're going to get shot.
Yeah.
Now I don't think. Yeah, now I'd, like, openly have.
Do you know what we should do? I've just had an idea for when we do Patreons. Let's see the most elaborate food either of us can eat in a cinema. Like a disposable barbecue. Imagine
that. Lighten it up.
A slow cooker.
Sizzling.
Asking for a plug point. Can I plug in my slow cooker? I've got lamb in here.
It's the only reason I'm watching Oppenheimer. 3 hours. This needs to be brisk. I think I'd bring sizzling fajitas if I could get some.
That would be funny.
If I get
something very funny
on the cast iron.
That would be very funny.
You'd have to watch a snake movie to blend in. Anaconda 2.
This week was my film choice, and I picked the 1970s caper.
Caper's not a word they use much anymore.
I love a caper.
Yeah, I love a caper.
I'd love to be involved in a caper. You don't get enough capers. It's either that or caper is normally like for a crime film or a con man film like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
a romp, you normally only get like a sex romp. You can't really.
A romp.
Yeah. American Pie is a romp.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we were talking about, the raunchy comedies.
Yeah,
like Gareth
yeah.
always talked about raunchy comedy.
Yeah, raunchy. Yeah.
A raunchy comedy.
It's a word that doesn't get used enough either. Yeah, raunchy.
Well, yeah. I'm glad about that, in fairness. Feeling raunchy tonight. we had, by the way, just before we start this thing, The Sting had its own little Oppenheimer Barbie thing.
Did it?
Where it was released 3 days, not the same day, it was released 3 days after The Exorcist.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And they're both in the top 10, kind of like engrossing movies of all time when you count inflation.
Nice. Mm. There was trivia I learned. The only other trivia I learned about it is, you know, the scene where Robert Redford meets Robert Shaw in the diner?
Yeah.
That diner is also the same diner that Marty McFly met his dad in Back to the Future.
Oh, I like
exactly
that.
Exactly the same diner.
I like that.
Fucking class.
That's class.
Love shit like
I missed that.
That
one. I missed the one, the fact that Robert Shaw's character had a limp, and that was because he actually fell playing squash the week before. You know, his character limps.
Is that why he's got a limp?
He's wearing an actual brace under his... Is fucking, first of all, he's not meant to be in the film. It was
so the actor, Robert Shaw, the actor, had,
yeah.
I thought it was a character. I thought he'd been shot as part of a
character thing, but it wasn't meant to be. He fucked himself playing racquetball or something.
Shit. So who was it supposed to be?
It was some other guy as well. There was another guy who was supposed to be there. Boone. Don't know him. Some actor was meant to be it. And then he didn't turn up. He just all of a sudden just stopped answering any phone calls about it.
He killed himself playing badminton.
Badminton's taking everyone from this. That's what the real sting is here.
Because you've never seen it.
No. Loved it.
Do you like it?
Loved it.
It's so good, man. I totally forgot a lot about it.
You told me it won a lot of Oscars, and the first Oscar I looked at, I was like, I bet it won set design.
Aye.
Because everything looked fucking unbelievable. Every scene, everything looked class. A big fan of it.
It's the only time Redford's been nominated.
Well, that seems odd. I don't know. I must say, I'm quite bad at that.
He didn't win it.
Okay, but still nominated.
Yeah, it's good. They're all fucking class in it. It's the bit. So if you don't know the storyline, because obviously folk haven't seen the films, Robert Redford's a con man who pulls off a con at the start of the film, and like his mentor, who is played by James L. Jones' dad.
Oh, right.
The voice of Darth Vader's dad. How fucking cool is that?
That's insane, yeah.
So he's like his mentor, and this has been, he says then, he's like, right, that's me out of the con game. And then, but the con they've pulled, it's just a normal kind of thing where they basically pickpocket a guy in the street. And it turns out he's like a runner for a boss, like a mob boss, who's Robert Shaw's character. And then he kills Darth Vader's dad.
But he's already told him
he should go and see this guy he knows who's the best con man, who's Paul Newman. And he turns up and he says, right, we've got to pull the ultimate con to get this mob boss back.
And
that's the revenge. And then they do this ridiculously convoluted, elaborate con.
I loved it, but I presume there was easier ways. But then again, what I couldn't think of one.
No, I know.
As much as I was like, God, this is elaborate.
It takes a fucking lot of money to con someone. I mean, they basically create a business.
They create
a bookies from scratch. Like it's like when, do you know when? Do you ever watch Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares?
Yeah, I love it.
I fucking love that show. I genuinely love that show.
Yeah.
But that was, when I was watching this, I was like, there is no way they have managed to build this bookies in a night.
Oh, well.
In the same way, Gordon Ramsay will go, right, he'll send everyone home early one day.
Okay.
And then the next day, the restaurant looks completely different because you see these guys in overnight. And you're like, there's no fucking way you've done that because you've added paneling, you've extended the thing. The thing's got a fucking pool now. Like, you can't possibly do that in a night.
Well, you might. No, remember I told you about the guy that built, I think in another one that he built, in Lafayette, he built a house overnight.
He built a house?
Yeah. I don't know if it was it? I think it was an earlier episode, maybe. Or maybe it was a different episode I talked about. But anyway, Guy Brock. His name is Brock in Lifford, and he built a two-story building overnight. He didn't have planning permission, so he just like, I'll do it overnight and nobody will notice. It's the only two-story building in Lifford. He got caught and he was told, you can't build this. And he goes, well, you can take it down. So now it's just an empty shell of a two-story building in the middle of Lifford, right? But this brings me on to my next Lifford story, because we had a bookies in Lifford, and it was owned by what many people would call a character.
Right.
You know, and his name was Toots.
Toots.
Yeah.
Toots the bookie.
It was called Toots Takes All. And my dad used to go into the bookies. Eugene would go into the bookies, and Toots would come in, and my dad was like, oh, Toots would just introduce himself, like, hello, you stupid old sad cunts, give me all your money. And he'd walk around. And then he used to drive around town in a big black, jet black Jeep. With a big pink question mark on it, and he would play Where's the Love by the Black Eyed Peas out loud.
What?
And he would just drive around the town.
So it had a question mark painted on the...
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure it's on the, it's in the Black Eyed Peas video or something.
Oh, right. Yeah. Why was he such a fan? Is there
I don't even think he was a Black Eyed Peas fan. I think he just thought it was funny.
Is there someone in the Black Eyed Peas called Toots? Because that does sound like a Black Eyed Peas kind of name.
Toots?
Yeah. Like, Will I Am, Fergie and Toots.
It sounds like it'd be Will I Am, the other dude, and then who's mad sexist, and that's what he called Fergie. Come here, Toots.
Just slapped her in the arse every time.
Go out there and sing Toots.
When you go Toots.
So we had Toots takes all.
Wow. Yeah.
Didn't look as good as that bookie's in this thing now.
No. Because Toots the bookie is like, there's a bit where Paul Newman's recruiting a load of con men because they need like a massive crew. It's kind of like in Ocean's 11. When yeah. they need a set, they need a guy that can do this. They need a guy, a fixer, all this kind of shit. And he goes and sees what I'm assuming is like Indeed jobs for con men. Because this guy's just in recruitment, and he's like, go and get the list. He brings the list, and he sees, right, let's see who we've got in town. We've got Horseface Larry. We've got Jimmy the Suitcase. The fuck are these people?
I had a whole nightmare with my. With my remote, I actually wanted to pause it and go back and listen to it, like, I Johnny Two Shoes and all this.
Horseface Larry.
Yeah, Horseface Larry. Whatever you do, don't tell him about the long fist thing. He hates it. Horseface Larry is what I'm going to call Elliot from the Elliot Steel.
I genuinely love con men films.
As a general...
I love watching the way it plays out. Like, there's so much stuff I forgot about in this. I love the fact that they built a bookies, and I love the way... My favourite scene in the whole film is because they're trying to hook them. Because they've got a really cool thing as well where they do, like, the setup and then the wire, and then it's almost like a chapter of a book on the screen, and then it pulls it away.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the editing's just peeling the page.
So to get him invested and to get him on the hook as the mark that they're going to pull the con on, they basically play him against, because he's so used to being like the big man around town and all this kind of stuff. They do this, so there's a train ride between Chicago and New York, and he runs a poker game on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So Newman... gives the guard money and says, here's a game here. And he's like, yeah, there might be a game here. And he's like, I love shit like that. See, when it goes, yeah, there might be a game. Yeah, there definitely is a game. And then he gives him a bit more and he goes, that'll get you first alternate. And he goes, oh, will it? There you go. And then he gets him in the game.
£2 more gets me my wife.
Yeah.
Gets you my wife.
And so Robert Shaw's playing with these other dudes, I'm assuming are like high society, like senators or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're waiting for him, and Newman's cool as fuck because they've already worked out what kind of decks of cards he uses. Because a guy's worked out that he cheats, and this is how he cheats. He always loads the cards, so he gets threes and nines. And so he gives him both sets of cards. So obviously, Newman, because you see Newman and he's like doing all this cool as fuck stuff where he keeps making the ace move to the top of the deck.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's front loading the deck constantly. And then...
He just starts treating him like shit too.
Oh, it's the fuck. Because he goes in like the proper drunk.
Yeah, to
the point where when he drinks gin and then puts it on his aftershave as well. So he properly reeks of gin. So folk are just going, who's this drunk bastard? Like, we're going to take him for everything.
Great.
But he treats him like he gets his name wrong every single time with a different name. Because his name's Lonigan and he calls him Liminin at some point. And then he goes, come on, Donigan. And all this kind of
Donigan.
Stuff. He gets fucking raging at him. And then he cheats him. He gives it so that he'll have four threes. Which, if you get like four of a kind in a poker hand, you're gonna play.
You're gonna win, yeah.
And then he's got four nines, but then the way Newman's done it is he's suddenly got four jacks.
It was great.
And then the guy's like that. I swear, he must have cheated. He must have cheated. And then Robert Shaw's like, well, what am I gonna do? Accuse him of cheating better than me? It's like so good.
Guy was shitting it too. Like, I'm gonna be killed over this.
Oh.
I love the way there's Doyle Lonigan. There's two bars in Dublin beside each other, like very close to each other, called Doyle's and Lonergan's.
Oh, really?
And I was, pretty sure they're on like parallel streets.
Ah, nice.
I don't know if that'd be any good.
I can't remember if Robert Shaw's actually Irish.
I don't think so.
Can't remember. I seem to think he was, because I love Robert Shaw because he plays Quint in Jaws. Did you like his Irish accent in this?
At the first line, I laughed. Yeah. I went, oh, I fuck, here we go. And then I was actually fine with it compared to nearly most of it. Because I feel like it was a little bit more Northern Irish at parts. It was a little bit of tint. I don't know where he was singing. I actually thought it was good.
He does this.
In terms of fucking movies and Irish accents, it's one of the better.
The threatening way he just goes, you follow. That's the last word on this. What's happening. Because I was going to ask you, because Irish accent, I reckon, is one of those accents that everyone has a go at. But particularly in films.
Like Scottish also.
Yeah.
I think it might be easier to do a basic Scottish accent than Irish, because I think, but really it's Americans' fault, because their idea of Irish is like leprechaun stuff where nobody actually speaks, so that's why it upsets people.
Yeah,
it's leprechaun Irish.
What do you think is the worst Irish, what's the worst Irish accent you've ever heard in a film?
There was two, I think. I'm pretty sure it's Brad Pitt, or is it Tommy
Devil's Own?
Devil's Own,
yes,
it's right up there. Yeah, and Far and Away is pretty fucking...
Far and Away, oh yeah, that is
fucking shocking.
But then is...
Also, Jamie Dornan's in that newish, kind of stupid Irish film with Emily Blunt. It's pretty bad, and it's bad because he is Irish, so...
That bizarre film where he's a farmer
he's
or something.
A bee,
this is totally not what I'm thinking.
No,
of.
It is.
Is it Christopher Walken in it?
Yes, yes, yes. No, it is that film, but there is a scene where he just keeps talking of it being a bee, and it. I didn't watch it, I just saw clips of it. I must watch it, because like, all bad, really bad, like P.S. I Love You is very funny. That's made by Rotten Ben Irish person, but Leap Year is one of the funniest films.
Yeah, that's like, it's dog shit. Jamie Dornan's Irish, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Jamie Dornan's Irish, though. He's Irish. I don't know why I said Irish, but...
I'm from Ireland. Now, Jamie is Irish and still managed to fuck an Irish accent.
That's mental.
I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he didn't call a couple of people on it.
Aye. The worst I've ever heard isn't in a film. It's in one of the series of Sons of Anarchy.
I've heard about this.
They go to Belfast.
I've never heard about this.
You keep mentioning, because they're a motorcycle gang, but they're also... They're not just a motorcycle gang, they're... international arms dealers. And the first couple of series they keep mentioning their contacts in Belfast, and then for one series they go there, and Jesus Christ, it's so terrible. It's like every single bad person doing an Irish accent. What's
the worst Scottish one?
I tell you what the worst Scottish one is. There's a film called A Castle for Christmas.
I've watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was...
Every single person in that.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking your man from The Princess Bride.
Oh, God.
Kerry Hughes?
Elwes. What? I don't know how you say his name.
Kerry Ewes?
Aye.
Hughes, I would call it.
That's total shite.
Yeah, yeah. That was pretty fucking... I got angry for you.
That's really, really bad. But then... Because Gerard Butler does like a weird Scottish accent in everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one. I don't know why is he Jamie Dornan in it? Is he just away too long? But Jamie Dornan's definitely Butler. I would kind of get, because he has been gone in a while. But Jamie Dornan's like those right off his BBC Northern Ireland shows.
Jamie Dornan, the guy that did the
Fall.
Oh, hi. No, what was the...
The Pumping?
The BDSM film.
What? You're talking about Fifty Shades.
50 Shades.
I don't think it's... I don't think it's like a straight-up BDSM film.
I thought it was.
No, I reckon he dabbles into a lot of it, you know? I've not watched 50 Shades, and I feel like I should, because I want to know, does he just touch into, like, BDSM, or is he tonight's anal? Like, I just can't see how that film would be sexy. A brutal anal scene in the middle of it. People are just like, Fifty Shades darker and darker. Yeah. Remember there was how many was there? There was I thought, is there two? Or maybe there might be four. This might be one where like
I thought
that's a raunchy kind.
That is a raunchy. That's a raunchy. Comedy. That's not. It's not a romp either.
No,
there's no romping done.
No,
because I didn't. I thought I didn't realize his name was Grey. Right.
Okay.
Because I thought it. I think he's. What is his name? Aye, it's some stupid fucking name. But his second name's definitely Grey in it. I remember learning that because I've never read any of the books or seen the films.
Yeah.
But I thought I thought it was called 50 Shades of Grey. Was because it was like a grey area, so he was trying 50 different mental things that he could get people to do. So I genuinely thought there was like it would start off almost white and then get like that backdrop, right?
And then
so,
slowly,
yeah. So he'd start like in the middle here, and that was literally just normal pumping. And then as we got darker and darker and darker, at one point he's like fucking, he's like got his dead gran in the cupboard watching them and shit like that, you know, like how extreme it can get.
That's a great, the actual shade's like a Dulux pattern.
Yeah.
He spins a little thing and if it lands on dark rain, he's like, well, you're in for a terrible night.
Oh dear.
Oh.
He just takes a drill off charge.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh dear. It's Black and Decker.
Looks like we're removing limbs tonight.
50 Shades. Dorian Gray? Is there anything to do with it?
No. Is Dorian Gray? Dorian Gray not the
Oscar
guy that
Wilde,
had.
The portrait.
That is Dorian Gray, isn't it? Yeah, the guy that kept a picture of his. A picture in his.
I should know this because
he's loft. Yeah,
he's Irish.
Is that Dorian Gray, the guy that appears younger because there's a
It was Irish, isn't it? Oscar Wilde, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
I think it is.
No idea. Irish people, you tend to claim a lot of people that aren't Irish.
What? Like you called me about what? Like vampires? That was the one. Of
no,
the first
yeah, episode. Vampires. No, but I'm talking about actual celebrities.
Right. Talking about...
Because I would never have considered Oscar Wilde as Irish. I don't know much about Oscar Wilde, but...
Well, he's very Irish.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not like Daniel Day-Lewis, where we're meeting in the middle here.
So he's full in... Aye. He's not like Jack Charlton could play...
Not Jack Charlton, no.
Because his granddad was Irish.
But we don't call Jack Charlton Irish. He's just an Irish hero.
No, because he was just a manager.
Yeah, he was just a...
But then some of that squad... Like Jason McAteer and John Aldridge.
We do have a couple of... I mean... Clinton Morrison. Closer to the
most time. Of that squad, actually. Mm. Fucking Ray Houghton was Scottish.
Was he?
Yeah. He could have played for us.
Aye, listen. Aidan McGeady could have played for you guys.
There's a lot of them that could have played for us.
James McCarthy.
God, yeah.
Now, we have, like... Because a couple of people get upset, like... Daniel Day-Lewis is... I think he was born in London.
Aye, he's not Irish.
But he is.
We've had this discussion before. He's not Irish.
He's Irish. Where did he fucking lives in Ireland the last 25 years.
So?
He's such a weird dude. He lives as like a blacksmith up in the...
Does he?
He works as a blacksmith up in the Wicklow Mountains. Absolutely. And then he comes down every 7 years to do a film. And
I can't actually wait till we do a Daniel Day-Lewis film. I can't stand Daniel Day-Lewis.
Do you know what? This is where me and you are going to enjoy things. Because I fucking... I don't get the hype. I love In the Name of the Father. I get he's great and There Will Be... I don't even like that film. But he's a very good acting in it. And then some of it is fuck... I even watched Phantom Thread, which was...
What's that? Oh, is that one where he's like a dressmaker?
Shite. Lincoln. I know we both agree with Lincoln. Lincoln is one of the
boring films I've ever seen in my life. Films. I could wait for him to get shot. Yeah. I was like, this is going to end well.
Yeah. Can you put that on again?
Yeah. Yeah.
As if there's a guy up there still. Yeah. We had like... I was looking at the thing because like Scams, I felt like this film reminded me of Eugene, not only because he only watches that type of movie, so it's probably one of his favorite movies.
Does feel like a Eugene film.
He is in a lot of Scams back in the day. I think I've talked we had the Greyhound one. I had something written down. This is my first scam when I was a kid. It wasn't really. I was scammed out of buying Speed,
right,
when I was about 9 years old. Right.
Right.
So my next door neighbor, his name is Manus, he said, do you want some Speed? And I was like, I thought he was going to show me his bicycle. I had no idea what speed was in drugs. So I had to give him a, I had to give him like a pound, a punt back in the day, Irish, you know.
Right.
And he gave me this little bag full of red paint chippings, and he's like, "On your way."
What the fuck?
And I was like, "I don't know what you do with this. Do I eat this?" I was going to eat it, and then I noticed like there was just a massive load of like. Where someone taking a chisel to his red garage, you know, like he just went like that. It was one of the worst scams I've ever.
This is sinister. It's a sinister.
It wasn't that sinister because he was possibly a year older than me, so it was two kids. Like it wasn't like an old man.
So he's obviously heard the term speed somewhere.
Yes,
he's probably made up what it is.
Yeah,
and he thought, "I'll
Colin will fall for Colin this will shit. Fall for this. He'll fucking fall for this shit." And I did.
Pound for a bag of paint chippings.
Do you want some speed? I was like, I love speed. I'm 9 years old. I'm all about speed. Oh, it's fucking so good.
We had I was trying to think there if I had any scams going. I mean, they're not in the same. Not in the same league, certainly, as a pound for a bag of paint chippings. I'm not fucking Danny Ocean, but I remember when I was at high school, in the later years of high school, I worked at Woolworths.
Yeah.
And we had a thing going because me and my pal Chris worked on the entertainment's desk. And there was a thing going for a while where it was one of the first times where a shop would price match something else.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know why I did that. Wow.
So, it wasn't even W. Smith, it was John Menzies.
Never
Do you remember
heard of
that show?
Never
shop?
Heard
no.
Of it. No.
That was a Scottish shop. W. Smith took them all over, right?
Okay.
John Menzies, right? It was basically.
John Menzies.
Yeah, John Menzies, yeah. I think he must have been the guy that started it.
Okay.
They sold everything that W.H. Smith does. They sold DVDs, CDs, but also books and papers and stationery and all that shit. And Woolworths would price match. If you found a CD cheaper in the town, you could then go and get a refund in a...
Okay, right.
So what we did was we'd found out that George Michael's Greatest Hits was selling in a sale up at John Menzies, right?
Are you doing basically like...
So we were on the entertainment's desk and our pals would go up and buy... So they'd buy it from us, right? Then they would go up, come back and say, look, I've just noticed it's half price in John Menzies. We would then refund them the difference, which was what you're supposed to do, but also then refund them for the CD.
Okay,
so we'd then
away.
Take it back. So just the same CD got circulated around about 30 pals, and each time we were making a fiver.
Unbelievable.
Right? So there's maybe about 20 of us involved in this scheme, right? And we're a fiver a time. But then we would do this for like every weekend. This would get done about four or five times. So we're making 25 quid.
Fucking this George Michael.
Oh, they found out eventually.
Yeah.
That loads of shit used to... My friend was manager of the... Because he'd left school in fourth year and he'd risen to the ranks of entertainment's manager at Woolworths.
Right.
And when the N64 was released, there was a thing where whatever store... In the country had the most pre-orders for the N64, they would win. It was something like a holiday or a voucher or something like that, right? So the number two store was Oxford Street's Woolworths in London. The number one in the country was Dumfries High Street, right? And the reason was he was just going through the phone book and making orders. He was just making these orders that were never, ever going to turn up. And he hadn't made a contingency plan for when the N64 was actually released. And none of these 800 people that had pre-ordered an N64 were going to touch. So he got the sack for that.
What a terrible...
I know.
I love it. I'm in the middle of a scam. Not a scam. It's not really a scam, but I've been caught out on something slightly scam-like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've told you about this with Trainline, the company that book your train tickets.
Oh, I've got a Trainline one after this.
Here we go. Right, this has now become a scam podcast, right? I told Gene, right? So, you know Gene?
Yes.
Yeah, Gene was trying to get money back on an advanced single ticket.
Right.
Which, you know, you can't get refunds on advanced single tickets, basically, right? And I was like, I've got a way. I know how you get out of any ticket. You know, if you have double booked or you get out and you're like, fuck, I've chucked 50 quid away. The only way they give you tickets is near family bereavements. Right? It's in their terms and conditions. So for years, I've been going into their train line chats anytime I've like, oh, you know, I have an extra gig and then I'm like, oh, I've fucked away a 60 quid train, you know, and I can't get it back or whatever. You know, some of them you can't get back, some of them you can refund. So I'd be sitting there going like, my gran's died, you know, and I have to get back, right? It's always my gran. Mm-hmm. My gran's died, blah, blah, blah. So this has been going on for years. I was like, just do that, you know, Gene, right? So the last day I was like, this is about a month ago. I was there 2 months ago. I was like, listen, my gran's died, whatever. I didn't know that every time I've been typing this in, it's been on the same log. So every time someone sees it, it's been going on. And this guy called Nigel, it was Nigel was typing. I was like, I died, you know. And he's like, grandmother. He goes, God, man. Because Nigel is typing away, and he just goes, 7 grandmothers since April 2019 have died, have they? And I was like, I'm pretty cut up about it. Next thing it just said was, refunded.
Oh, amazing.
He was probably laughing his head off. He was probably dying laughing. That's he goes, class. I'm pretty cut up about it. I've lost 7.
So you buy the ticket and to get a refund if you don't use the ticket, or have you used the ticket?
Don't use the ticket.
It's not really a
scam. It's not. It's unused tickets.
Right.
It was just like, you know, if change plans and you can't get a refund on one of the train things. Yeah. That's how you get it. My gran's died. But they're on to me now. Well, Nigel is. He still give me the refund. But I was like dying laughing.
That's brilliant.
I didn't know. He was like, I've got the whole 7 grandmothers.
That's class. Before I tell you the train one I had on the go, because you know the person that I had it on the go with as well. I forgot my brother in Dumfries as well. For a summer he worked at Burger King before he went to uni, right? And it was so fucking like, it's like he'd worked there like for a week, and they asked him if he would think about applying for a management position. Like that's a level of turnover, right?
God, that's bad.
But it was one summer where they had a promotion where there was a tab underneath the cup lid, and you pulled up the cup lid and it would tell you if you'd won money or you'd won an extra thing. So one afternoon, I'm hanging out with my two pals in my house, and my wee brother phoned the house and said, has Chris got the car? And I was like, yes. And he was like, right, drive to Burger King and come round the back. So my brother was the only, like, he'd only been there for 3 weeks, and he was already the most senior position on that day, right? And he came out with 3 boxes of these fucking cups and just launched them in the boot. And we went home and just opened them up, like, made about 60 quid each and burgers for the rest of the summer.
That's unbelievable. That's a scam.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's the best one.
That's just theft.
Aye, well, that's
There's no... But the train line. It wasn't train line. Damien Clark.
Okay, right? Regret.
Australian comedian who lives in Dublin.
I actually have to reply to him. He just messaged me. I just
class guy. Right?
Yeah. So, one of the best.
I got booked to do this gig to promote the Glasgow Comedy Festival. And what the gig was is there was a launch night down at the Leicester Square Theatre in London. Right, so I was hosting that, and this particular Glasgow Comedy Festival, Virgin Trains were sponsoring it, right? Okay. So they decided that they would do a gig on the train, right? So we were going down anyway.
That's cool.
And they said, you're not going to get paid for it, but what you're going to get is you're going to get 5 return journey vouchers for anywhere on the Virgin network, right? So this was when Virgin was basically... To go, Virgin would run through Carlisle, it'd go through Preston, it'd go through Manchester, Birmingham. So most gigs you could get to off this line. So I'm going to do this gig. Damo phones me and says, are you doing that gig? And he says, when you get the vouchers, like, so they came in, they were like these silver Virgin, they were almost like the golden ticket in Willy Wonka, yeah, yeah, right? And he said, you can keep reusing them because you had to fill in. There was a fill-in bit for your name, where you were going, where you were departing from, when you were leaving, the time, and then you signed, and then you signed it, and then they signed it. And he said, what you can do is don't fill it in, because most time, and it got you in first class as well. That was another thing. So you got first class, so it's 5 first class return journeys. And he said, never fill it in, because 9 times out of 10, you flash it, and they just assume you've filled it in. They don't sign it. You can then use it again, right? And these things had an expiry date of like 5 years' time.
Great.
Right? So he said, I managed to use these for ages, right? So the first one, the first couple of times I used it, yep, bang on. Nobody checked it. Kept using it. One day, proper anal person came along and said, oh, I see you've not filled it in. Can you fill it in? And so I filled it in, signed it, they signed it. That one's fucked, right? Yeah. So I'm now down to 4.
Okay.
So at this point, I thought, this isn't happening again. I researched invisible ink, right? And I found a pen that you could fill in and then get rid of, right? So.
This is excellent. Right? This is what I'm here for.
So. This, so now it's even more convincing because now I'm able to flash them the filled in bit, right? Yeah, so they're going, this guy's legit. He's filled it in. Excellent, right? So I get away with this a couple of times, rubbing it out. But eventually you can't keep rubbing it out with the marker thing because it starts... it starts to look tatty and it starts to look like shit, right? So I was like, I can't use that one anymore because the indentations now start to show up on the card and it's been rubbed away. So I'm like that, right? So now I'm down to 3.
Okay, right? Yeah.
Next step.
I can't believe you. I would have just done the invisible one again.
Next step, I find out, and this is proper catch me if you can shit. Okay. I found out if you buy a specific type of pen and then buy acetone, which is nail polish remover, you fill it in with this type of pen, you then put it in the acetone to soak it, and the ink just floats away. Right? So, right.
You like fucking 24-hour Photoshop or whatever?
We're now into it. We've got the thing where we can do that, right? So this works again. We're now, so this maybe happened in about 2015. We're now into like 2017, and we're still using these fucking things, right? Naturally, that came to an end because you've got to dry the ticket afterwards, so I'm putting them on heaters. Like, I'm putting them in the heater at hotel rooms that I go to, but eventually it starts to look like a fucking treasure map because it's bubbly. 2 left, right? And Damo's still got some as well. So we had a thing going where we'd be sitting in first class and we'd take a picture of the meal and the drink we'd got, right, to each other every single weekend. So Damo's out now, right? He's out of them. I'm on my last 2 and we're speaking at a gig and he says, I found a guy that will print us more, right? So he was like, send me the one you've got, right? This complete blank one. He sent it away. This guy that he... So first of all, he tried it where he just went in to a printer's and just went... Can I get 500 of these? And the guy went, no, because that's fraud. Right? That's massively fraudulent. I'm just going to pretend you haven't fucking asked me to do that. Eventually, he finds a guy that knows a guy that works in a printer that for a certain amount of money is willing. And this guy managed to find the exact same type of like silk glossy paper.
Jesus and Christ.
Just printed off fucking 500 of the cunts. So up until, so we still had 2 years left, and on those 2 years, I had a stack of them like that high, and me and Damo never paid for a train journey.
That is unbelievable. I'm a big fan. I love how you kept picking it up levels too, like fucking acetate.
That was the best one. When I found out you could do that,
The invisible pen does make it look like you're a magician. It's like your backup was if he catches you, you're going to just squirt water in his eye from your fire.
Yeah.
And run down that.
Oh, but I totally forgot about that until now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a scam.
We'll get back to you in a second about this film. I don't know what much other to this film there is, because usually we laugh at bits, but this was just quite a good film.
It's just excellent. The acting is sublime.
Just fucking excellent.
The script's amazing. The storyline's amazing. It looks
They
class.
Kept calling one of it the big con.
The big con.
It's like climate change. It's going to get into climate change now.
It's ridiculous how handsome Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
I did think
it's
that.
Utterly ridiculous.
Especially Redford.
Oh.
I know everyone, all these women were turning them down. You know, like, they were kind of not turning them down, but you know there's parts where they look pretty pissed off, where they just try to chat to them, and I was like, it's a handsome bloke.
But then they tried to make him look down and out at the start.
He looked better.
He looked fucking class.
He looked way better before they did the barbers, when there's like 14 people in there.
Then he goes for a straight eye. For, what is that again? Queer eye, that thing. He goes for a makeover. And they do his nails and stuff. Just a fucking... Because Newman in his day was a handsome bastard as well.
He had blue eyes.
Ridiculous. Like, Newman, good looking guy, amazing actor, and loads of sauces. Remember, he made his own barbecue sauce and
no
salad dressings. You don't know this?
No.
He's got a huge business. He had a huge, huge business in America.
He's the first George Foreman.
Well, aye, but not grills.
Newman sauces.
It's called Newman's Own. And I'd had them when I was over in America. But yeah, fucking, he's facing the bottle. They still sell them now. Just tons and tons of dressings, barbecue sauce. I think he does his own ketchup. But apparently they're amazing.
Are they both dead?
I don't think Redford is. Newman definitely
Let's get
is.
On that. I want to be the man to kill.
It must be. I think the only really handsome person we know is Milo.
Yeah, I don't know why. I laughed there. Like, yeah, I have a theory, though, that the more you look at Milo, the uglier he gets.
Yeah, that is true.
If you just stare at him for 3 more seconds, things start slowly.
Yeah.
It's like a magic eye.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
He's starting to look his age.
Good. He deserves it, because that was my joke. I kept going, guess what age he was? And everybody, he'd get really pissed off. He'd be like, can you stop doing this guess what age I am type of thing?
He's a fucking... I remember at Slossy's wedding, Amy saying to me, like, when we went home that night, she was like, Miles is a ridiculously good looking man. And I was like, yeah, but... Like, I think that's one of those... I think women can get away with saying someone's hot more than... Like, because if I'd gone... One of those fucking... See someone at that...
Yeah. See that fucking bridesmaid.
Exactly. Fucking stunning. She'd go, that's ridiculously sexist and horrible. But there was another point.
Oh, everybody was horny for the celebrant and the dude that was... You know, the groundskeeper?
The groundskeeper?
Yeah, there's a groundskeeper dude walking around with a walkie-talkie in his back pocket.
At the wedding?
Ah, yeah.
Was there?
And he kept wandering around, and everybody just kept going. All the women were just like, I'd go clean through him.
There was chicks hot for Cara's da.
Oh, that's right.
Loads
yeah,
of
yeah,
chicks
yeah.
hot for Cara's da. Yeah, I had to chat with him about it.
When he calmed him down.
He was just like cool as fuck about it. It's like, yeah.
He looks like an old-time actor.
He does, actually. He's
he'd be
got
good
got
in a Western.
Actor.
Actor
he's
head.
Got actor chops.
Actor
aye.
Head.
Aye. Who do you think is a better looking at me and you?
I think it used to be me, but I'm falling apart. Look at me.
I think it was you. I think it was probably me, and then you.
And then me.
And then now it can never be you again.
It's too far gone.
Because I reckon I've got things I could change. If I lost weight... And stuff, I could look, but I think you're done.
I can't gain weight, which isn't, and I'm already underweight.
Yeah.
I can't cut my hair.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm so bald, right?
I'm so bald. It's this time of a Rodney Dangerfield joke.
I'm so bald. Get no respect. I'm so bald that when my hair grows, I look balder. Because the sides go out, and then all of a sudden you got like a Woody Allen thing. Yeah. It just highlights how bald you are.
Yeah. Do you think you would ever go for that?
No, because guy...
Round the side, kind of monk look.
I thought you were going to be talking about someone else there. I thought you were going to be Kai who was trying to get me a hair transplant.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think I can do the monk thing.
You could get a hair transplant, though. Tons of people get it.
Aye, but it's just too, like it's too far gone.
Aye.
If you were balding, my point to Kai was, if I was balding and then they were like, oh, get that up, top it up before it goes, I can't turn up tomorrow like fucking, like I'm a 70s disco, proper
but
fuck.
But you need to just own it. It's like, because I was talking
I don't think I could own it, not with you beasts around.
No, I think if you just went, look.
I think within a year, I'd have committed suicide by the absolute abuse that you people would give me.
It would be funny.
Yeah, it would be funny. You all want it because you're like, great, free fucking ammo forever.
Because I was talking to Amy today about, because she was at a dentist today, getting, she's got like she's got like a tooth that has been forced back by the tooth, and it's just slightly, and it doesn't look, you can't notice it, but it's annoying her when she's eating and shit like that. So she's like, I'm gonna go and get it fixed. And I just kind of, I'd love to get that. And she was like, why don't you just go in? But I'm similar, like if I turned up with good teeth,
people are like, I feel like you have to just, it's fine, that's just you now.
Yeah,
this is how it's going to be from now on.
Yeah, I know, because they do look. See, the thing with getting teeth done as well is they're always going to look brighter.
Yeah, yeah.
Than they naturally would.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you've got to face that kind of
the fakeness. I think I'm getting whiter.
Getting whiter.
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 Yeah, yeah. I've been buying like Maroon 5. No. I get. I think I'm getting whiter. I'm getting whiter, balder.
Paler.
Paler, yeah. Paler, that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
I'm getting whiter.
That sounds like
I'm starting something.
It's another podcast.
The white party.
I'm getting properly into this white thing.
Absolutely only whites pod.
But yeah. Would you, if you were on holiday, would you tan?
No, I don't.
Burn immediately?
I don't even... Do you know what? I didn't think I for a while I wasn't burning, and then I can't remember recently at a holiday I incinerated myself.
Really?
Yeah. It used to be hard to burn and hard to tan. I get freckles, and you can't get freckles as a bald dude.
No,
because it just looks like you've been behind a dirt bike. So he's revved a dirt bike.
Look like marbling.
Yeah. They all join into one.
Why does Cullen look like an arrow?
exactly. Well, we get on to next week's.
Yeah, but I think this is. I loved this film.
This was probably the best of the films.
One thing before we go that I totally forgot about, and it is a massive spoiler. So if you're not watching it, I totally forgot that the assassin that was sent to kill him is the woman that Redford ends up shagging.
Oh, yeah.
Totally forgot about that. And it's class because Newman has sent someone to protect him from this assassin. So that assassin must have been going, what the fuck am I getting? Like, he's in pumping her. What are you doing to me here, Redford? This is... She's also well below.
I didn't want to say it, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Like, let's just be proper toxic about this.
She is
punching hugely, like when he starts chatting her up, I'm like, come on, Bob.
I can't explain this, but she looks like she works with cows a lot.
Do you know what's a really sinister thing? Because she's an assassin, and when he turned up and he noticed it, and he was like, where's the regular girl? And she went, oh, she phoned in sick. She's killed her. She's killed an innocent.
I never even fucking thought about
an
that.
Innocent waitress has died for this. And she was probably fucking hot as well. And then this fucking cow wrangling cow.
It's cow wrangling. I'm telling you, there's something cow wrangling about it.
This cow wrangling bent comes in.
I kind of just was like, they must have had different tastes back in them days.
Aye.
That's what I just put it down to that.
Very, very quickly, another weird bit, because Newman is... He's basically going out with the boss of a whorehouse, a madam, I think they're known as. The really weird bit where she just suddenly goes, it's quite quiet tonight. I was going to turn on the thing for the girls. And he goes, yeah, sure. And then he just comes down and they're all on a fucking carousel. Just loads of prostitutes in a carousel. It's fucking weird.
Well, I was about to ask you, do you have a horny guy?
It's
a hard one there, because like, there's horny guys. There is horny because there's prostitutes.
There's a lot of horny. I tell you what, there is a lot of horny guys.
Redford turned up to a stripper with a fucking flowers.
Yes.
It's like right. Prostitute. But then
everyone in that audience, because it's right at the start, because he turns up to take, because she's just a...
I thought it was a strip club, by the way.
It is a strip club.
It isn't. Is it an open mic night? Some old guy came on. Some old guy, but I started doing stand-up.
Somebody does. Shit.
I was like, oh, strip club, and I was laughing, and then just an old guy comes up and goes, starts fucking...
It just must be an old, like a variety kind of club. Show, yeah, because yeah, they go, right, Mitch, you're up.
You're up.
And then he goes out and goes, guy walks into the... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that old burlesque dancing as well, where she's got the tassels.
Ah, yeah.
But it's a sparse audience.
Yeah,
well. It's all guys in hats. There's about 15 of them in this huge theatre, and she's on stage again.
It'd be a hard one.
But yeah, right, okay. All of the guys in that variety.
I did something because I was like, this is 1973. It's the first thing I looked at. I had an N-bomb counter going.
Oh, yes.
How many do you think N-words have been used?
I visibly noticed three.
There was three. I kept a counter. I was so delighted when the first one came in, to be honest, because I was like, oh, I'm vindicated in starting. I didn't like start counting from the first one.
Yeah.
I started before I saw a scene.
Yeah,
I had it on a piece of paper going N-bomb counter and ticked off one or two.
Yeah, yeah, there is. And it's only really at the start as well.
Aye.
It's only really when... James Earl Jones' dad. But to be fair, he also...
And that scene,
he also drops the N-bomb.
And yeah, but
himself.
And do you know what the best part about that scene, by the way, thing is when he runs, there's like, they were basically like, hit him or take him out, and he absolutely fucking leathers him with a briefcase to the knees.
Yeah.
That's like fucking front flipping.
Yeah. By 1930s America, it would have been...
Yeah.
1930s American, 1970s cinema.
Yeah. So it was always going to happen. Yeah. That's why I was like, I'm going to write this down.
Yeah. Right, next week.
Next week, right. I'm not, it's not necessarily saving, I'm trying to save the core, the core drama, right? Now, this one is stupid, but I think you like the film.
Right.
I think you've definitely seen it. Like, I'd be stunned. I'd be fucking stunned if it doesn't show up,
because
I had it just here.
Oh,
here we go. Right.
They're all... Yes! Fantastic.
We're going... I got it for 50 cent amongst it. We've got Cage. It's our second Cage film.
It's our first Connery, though.
Oh,
yes.
That was the thing. I know it's second Cage, but first Connery.
Right.
The Rock. I remember this film, but I don't remember it. I only remember like green little explosive balls.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, Ed Harris is
I
the
love
baddie.
Ed Harris.
Choose every bit of fucking scenery he can. And there's a very cool theory about this film that I'll tell you next week as well.
Brilliant. So we're going to The Rock.
Excellent. Keep downloading. Thanks so much for everyone downloading. Get in touch as well if you want to suggest any films you want us to do or any other things you want us to talk about. Let us know who you think is the best looking out of the two of us as well. let's get that fucking debate. We are off to Kendall Calling.
Yeah, that's right.
This weekend. We're both going to do the festival and then go to a wedding on the Saturday night.
So we'll have fucking shit to talk about.
Yes, of a very renowned sex offender, Matthew Canning.
Yeah,
who,
the pincer.
If you're a fan of Kai and Daniel's podcast, you'll know all about that beast. but yeah, thanks so much for downloading. We'll see you again soon. Cheers.